Welcome to Christian News and Comment, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church. Our guest host for this week's edition is Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis of the news from a biblical perspective. Here now with this week's edition of Christian News and Comment is Chris Long.
And good afternoon. It's great to be with you today. And the program will be actually retitled Christian News in Focus, and I will be more of the permanent host for the next number of months, and it's my pleasure to do so. Again, my name is Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and you are joined with Christian News in Focus, a new program here at WHKW that airs 3 p.m. every Wednesday, and we hope that you'll join us as it will be fast-paced. We'll have a number of guests. We'll be talking about the current issues of our day, and if you were with us in the month of December, you'll know that we talked about the World War II D-Day Landing Prayer Act that was introduced in the last Congress. Unfortunately, that did not pass as one of the measures that was hurriedly passed through the last days of this Congress. And as we saw late last night, actually in overtime on January 1, I've never actually seen that, where Congress extended its activity beyond the December 31st deadline for fiscal activity or any kind of legislation. And we saw last night that a bill was voted on by both chambers over the weekend. And we're going to talk about that on today's program in a little bit with Congressman Jim Renacci of Ohio's 16th Congressional District. Congressman Renacci voted no on the measure, and he's going to explain to us why and what fiscal issues we face as a nation that is looming out there. And it is the national debt. Well, to start this program, to start this new year, 2013, and I'd like to start with a verse of Scripture from Psalms 27, verse 1, where the Bible reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, as we're facing many challenges as a nation and as the Christian church, as we enter into 2013, many questions abound as to what's going to happen concerning religious liberty, the pro-life movement, Christians as far as their activity in public worship and First Amendment rights. All of these kinds of issues and questions can cause someone to be concerned. But I want to just leave you with this today, that this thought that the Lord is our light and He is our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? We really shouldn't be afraid of anyone. The Lord is with us, church, as we go forward into 2013. And we should have that confidence because the Lord is the one who is with us. Well, again, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about a variety of topics on this program as we enter into the new year. Those of you on our email list of the Ohio Christian Alliance, you received an email announcing this new program, and you can do so by visiting our website at ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website at ohioca.org, and you can sign up for our email alert list, and every couple of days during the week, you'll receive an update on legislation or pending issue that's in Washington or in Ohio at the State House, or issues in which that need our prayers, quite honestly, as the Church of Jesus Christ and as the pro-life movement enters into a new chapter as we enter into this new administration of, you know, as Mr. Obama was reelected, who is not pro-life, who doesn't stand with us on the life issue. And there is going to be a large gathering of pro-lifers in Washington at the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. This is the 40th year of March for Life, and in the coming programs, we're going to have some pro-life leaders on talking about the 40th anniversary and what does that mean. And in fact, the original organizer of the March for Life passed away this last year. She was a dear saint, and she's the one that helped to organize that major event as we have gone forward in the pro-life movement. But it's going to continue. Her legacy will continue. And so we're hopeful that there will be great change, and there will be a great opportunity for the pro-lifers in the coming year. Let me read for you this statement from Congressman last night, Mike Pence of Indiana, who's leaving the Congress and is actually going into the governorship of Indiana. He's leaving Congress, and he said this in opposition to the fiscal cliff deal. Our national government is facing a fiscal crisis of historic proportions. To restore solvency, we must be willing to make hard choices through fiscal discipline and common sense reforms. I oppose the Senate legislation dealing with the so-called fiscal cliff because it failed to make needed spending cuts and increased taxes on small business owners and job creators. Washington, D.C. does not have a revenue problem. It has a spending problem. I could not support more taxes, more spending, and more illusionary promise of spending reforms in the future. The American people deserve better. As I move on to my new responsibilities in Indiana, I will continue to stand for fiscal responsibility and pro-growth tax reform for our state and for our nation. That is from Congressman Mike Pence. And what we want to do here is we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, Congressman Jim Renacci will be with us from Ohio's 16th Congressional District. And he is going to talk about his role in last night's vote on the fiscal deal in Washington. And he's going to explain why he voted the way he did. But we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to Christian News and Comment with Chris Long. We'll be right back after these important messages.
If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Christian News and Comment with Chris Long.
And we're back, and just a minute on the phone, we're going to have Congressman Jim Renacci talking about the fiscal deal in Washington last night. And really, a lot of folks have questions on Facebook and then on Twitter, as last night we were watching on C-SPAN the coverage in Washington, and as we mentioned, it did pass the U.S. Senate, and then it went over into the House, and then it was deliberated. There were no amendments to the measure. And as a result, there was limited debate, of one-hour debate, and we watched the coverage on C-SPAN. And as a result, the measure did pass. And it is there were those who came and spoke at the microphone talking about the need to deal with the national debt, to address the runaway programs, spending programs that we have in Washington, the entitlement programs that are, quite honestly, at their current rates of growth, are unsustainable. We have something like $16 trillion in debt currently. This deal will add $3.9 trillion more to the national deficit, and it doesn't make any sense that this Congress, and I'm speaking to this administration, Mr. Obama, the Senate with Senator Harry Reid, and the House did pass a budget that would have cut the deficit. And as a result, those bills just languished in the U.S. Senate. Senator Harry Reid did not want to take them up. Mr. Obama blocked them, told Senator Reid that he didn't want them. And so this whole last year, we had no activity whatsoever in the U.S. Senate. And as a result, we basically are where we are at this time. And that is that we do not have a deal in Washington, except that we're going to be spending more money, and we're just kicking the can down the road. The problem is that there isn't any more road to kick the can down. And so people are concerned, and we're trying to get Congressman Renacci on the line here, and we'll have him as he weighs in. I can tell you that in Ohio, a number of congressmen did vote against the measure last night, and Congressman Renacci was one of them. And so we'll go ahead with Congressman Renacci. Congressman, are you with us?
Hey, I am, Chris. How are you today?
Good, thank you. And a long night last night in Washington. Thank you for taking time to be with us on the program today. Congressman, you voted no on this measure. Can you explain to our listeners why?
Well, yeah, Chris, you know, it was actually a pretty easy vote for me because at the end, again, it's the same thing we do here in Washington all the time. We accept a few things in a bill, but we're really not fixing the problem. The problem here is spending, and what we've done with this bill is push spending off for another couple months, and quite frankly, every vote I take, I'm so concerned not only about our economy, but so much about our children and our grandchildren and the debt and the burden that we continue to put on them. This bill, actually, the way it was voted on, adds $3.7 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years. A lot of that has to do with the tax cuts. I understand that. But still, we have to have substantial cuts in spending, and this bill just didn't do it. It came far short from doing that.
Well, Congressman, I want to commend you because last night on Facebook, as people were weighing in on the Internet, as it started breaking over the wire, the Drudge Report was reporting that a deal was conducted in the Senate where most Americans are celebrating the new year on New Year's Day, and Congress is still in session. And that actually is unusual. I'm 54 years of age. I can't remember there being this kind of overtime past the December 31st deadline of major legislation that it deals with the nation's finances and budget. How did we get here?
Well, Chris, that's a good question. But we got here because Washington is broken. We got here because we lack leadership from the president. I mean, he needs to step up and be willing to put a plan together long before the final deadline. These are all the things that have occurred. Look, 11 months ago, we knew we were going to be in this situation. Now, I will say this for the House. The House of Representatives passed a number of bills. First one in March, when it came to sequestration. In August, we passed a bill to extend the Bush tax cuts. So we have a number of bills out there that could have at least been acted on by the Senate long before December 31st, and they did. The Senate did not act on those. Now, again, that doesn't mean they have to accept them, but if regular order is followed down here, the Senate should have taken up those bills back in August. They should have either voted them down or voted them in the conference, and we should have got this situation corrected long before December 31st.
Well, see, that's where I see there's really the Democrats are being disingenuous here, because here they were calling for an up or down vote. They urged Speaker Boehner up or down on this this bill that came over from the Senate, when Senator Harry Reid, basically for 5 years, if I've got that correct, they haven't passed a budget in 5 years. Is that correct, Congressman? Over
in
the Senate?
4 years, but it's still long enough to say they're not doing their job.
And so when these bills came over from the House, we had the Ryan plan, you had capping of the Social Security rates. You had, you know, as far as when you can accept, you know, they would actually going to raise the ceiling as to when you would receive Social Security. I was in that window. It would extend my age of eligibility for Social Security. This was in the Ryan plan. But these are the kinds of measures that are needed that will bring about some common sense reform financially, so that we can continue these programs of Medicare, Social Security, and some of the entitlement programs. Isn't that so?
Well, exactly, Chris. If we don't fix Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, they will be broken in the future, and that's the problem. We have to make sure that we store up these programs for future generations, and just continuing to not look at them is a problem. It's part of the reason our deficits are growing. So we have to be willing to make the tough decisions. And up to this point, the president has not been willing to do that. Now, I heard, you know, after the vote last night, he came out, and in his speech he said, I understand we have to look at Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. But the problem is he says things and then he doesn't follow through. It was April of last year when he talked about we need a balanced plan. And he said $1 of tax revenues for $3 of spending cuts. Well, yesterday's vote was $41 of revenue to $1 of spending cuts. Talk about an extreme difference from what we were just taught, what he was just talking about 6, 7, 8 months ago.
And this bill, does this extend out for 10 years then? Is that how it works?
Well, the bill we passed last night, I mean, there are always good things in bills that you could vote on and say, this is the reason I did it. And I've heard so many people who voted for it say some of these things, and I understand that. It did fix the current tax rates permanently, which has not been done for 12 years. So that is a good thing. It also adjusted the estate tax so that although the estate tax rate went from 35 to 40%, it fixed the exemption at $5 million, which has been moved. It would have moved all the way back down to $1 million. So it kept it at the $5 million level. So it did a number of things that have not been able to be done for the last 10 or 12 years. But those are the only things you could really hang your hat on when it comes to, you know, the reasons why you would have voted for this bill. It just did not cut spending. And we have a spending problem here in Washington.
And so it is actually going to raise revenue. It's increased rates for those who are earning over $450,000 a year. It increased those tax rates. It's going to raise how much in revenue projected?
Well, I think the total new taxes, and I don't have the exact number, but it's $1 trillion or so dollars in new revenues in tax revenues. But the problem with that, Chris, I would have even been okay with that if those dollars went directly to reducing the debt. I would have probably voted for that. But the problem is all those dollars are doing is coming right in to the federal deficit, which is already $1.5 million a year each year for the next 10 years, and it does nothing. It's like throwing more water into a bucket that is badly leaking.
You mean $1.5 trillion a year?
$1.5 trillion, yeah. And it's like throwing more water into a bucket that's leaking. It's just going to continue to leak.
Well, and
you have to fix the bucket.
Well, that's it. And I think that, you know, it's like millions, billions, and now trillions. We're talking more in common language of trillions of dollars, and we really can't fathom that number at $1 trillion. It's just, and then we're talking about the national deficit now at somewhere projections of $16 trillion in national debt. And we're talking about our children, our grandchildren. Congressman, I know that's why you're concerned. I know that's why you went to Washington, and you were just recently reelected by the folks of the 16th Congressional District. When we look at the new Congress, and there's been a lot of question about Speaker Boehner's handling of this, obviously as he's playing a defensive role of the Democrat majority in the Senate and the administration. How do you think that the speaker did overall with this, and how will he position himself? Because many think this is basically a surrender by the majority of Republicans in the House to go along with this deal. We can discuss about what the fiscal cliff would have meant. And quite honestly, Congressman, I've talked to some folks who are business leaders. I myself, my tax rates were going to go up. I'd be more willing to go over the cliff, so-called the cliff, to allow these cuts to start taking place in dramatic fashion just so that people can see the reality of where we're at.
Well, one thing I will say about Speaker Boehner, I mean, he has the toughest job in the United States right now, because what he basically has to do is take 240 members and try and get them all on the same page, when no matter what card you play, there's two cards going to be played against you. And that's what the American people have to understand. I mean, it's a lot easier when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker. She had the Senate in Democrat control, and the President was Democrat controlled. So she would make a decision, and it would flow right through, and everybody'd say, wow, look at her leadership. Well, quite frankly, that's not leadership when it's that easy to get done. I mean, Speaker Boehner has had some very, very tough situations. But I will give him credit for this. He listened. I mean, we had multiple meetings yesterday. He listened to every member's concern. He didn't take a position, which is what he's done many, many times. And then ultimately, and you can imagine sitting in a room with 240 people, you're going to get sometimes 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 different opinions. And he then takes those opinions and he says, let's move forward with this. Now, as soon as you do that, somebody's going to say, I don't like that opinion in the room because they had another opinion. And it's very difficult when you move forward, especially when you know that no matter what you put out on the floor, the Senate's not going to pick it up either. So very, very difficult situation. I actually think he is a very good leader who listens in a very tough situation. And last night, look, I tell people this all the time. He is the Speaker of the complete House, the whole House, 435 members. So he has to ultimately do what's in the best interest of the country, but also he has to listen to 435 members, knowing that 240 are who elected him. So if you put all those numbers together, you can see it's a very, very tough position. He's a listener, and again, I think he's done the best he could, knowing that we had definitely a split in the Republican caucus yesterday who said, yes, let's push it through, and those that said no.
Hmm. And Congressman, I want to commend you for being available to your constituents. Last night on Facebook in live time, you were putting out the updates and the comments and the question that was before you as a voting member of Congress, and you allowed the folks to weigh in. And that was a very lively debate on Facebook last night, and folks urging you one way or another. I think the majority of them wanted you to vote no, and you did vote no, and I commend you for your vote. I thought that it would be a no vote. If I was in Congress, I would have voted no. I understand the issues and the challenges that we're facing. I hope that more and more Americans are tuning in. So the next, as we kick the can down the road, is what we did last night with this bill, what Congress did, and when I refer to Congress, I mean the Senate and the Congress and the President. What is the next line in the sand? What's the next challenge that faces us?
Well, and again, I think Speaker Boehner even said that yesterday after the bill was passed or last night, that you know there are actually three things coming up. We have sequestration, and that is where we're going to be replacing some of these really damaging cuts to our defense. And everybody wants to do that, including the president. So that's the number. That'll be the next line in the sand. The one after that will be the debt ceiling, and then we have the CR. Now, I'm not one that likes to mess around with the debt ceiling. I tell everybody, everybody can talk about the debt ceiling, but the problem with the debt ceiling is that's defaulting on your mortgage. That's defaulting on your debt. That's defaulting on something that you didn't even incur, but you owe. And we got to be really careful on that one. But look, we have the CR, we have sequestration, and we do have the debt ceiling. Those will be the three places that we're going to have to stand firm and really get our country back in the right direction. And I know that I will be one who will be making sure that we vote accordingly and make the right decisions there.
What's the best way for folks to contact you, Congressman, to keep up to date as to what's happening in Washington?
Well, as you said, Chris, one of the things I try and do, I am on Facebook, and that is me that's on Facebook, so that I try and communicate directly with my constituents. The other thing is letters, phone calls, emails into my office. That's the important thing that we have. I try and make sure that my office fields all the calls and is responding accordingly. But if you want to talk directly to me, I always say, Facebook is probably the greatest opportunity to do it for those listeners that are on Facebook, because every once or twice a day when I have downtime, I'll pull it up and respond and tell people what I'm at and what I'm doing.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I want to thank you, Congressman Renacci, for joining us today on Christian News and Focus. And thank you for sharing with our listeners an update from Washington, D.C. And, Congressman, I want you to know that we'll be praying for you and your family as you serve us in the upcoming session of Congress, and praying that God grant you wisdom and direction in all those that you serve with and who you serve for. We thank you, Congressman.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. And to you and the listeners, happy and prosperous New Year.
Thank you, my friend. You've been listening to Christian News and Focus. I'm your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You can log on to ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Learn more about our legislative initiatives at the State House in Columbus, and also updates as to what's happening in Washington and in Columbus. And we'll be having a variety of guests on this program. I hope that you will join us again by logging on to ohioca.org. This is Chris Long with Christian News in Focus. Thank you for joining us today.
You have been listening to Christian News and Comment with Chris Long. Send your email, comments, or suggestions to sos1611@gmail.com. Again, that email address is sos1611@gmail.com. Christian News and Comment is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road in Aurora. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them in worship this Sunday. Services are held at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Christian News and Comment is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio.